南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。Hi, everyone. Thank you for being here today, taking your time to study Buddhism. Deeply appreciate your support. Don't forget to like, subscribe, please. It does a lot for making this channel more easily found to all the many watchers, the millions of watchers of YouTube content. I want to share something quickly personal with you. I was thinking this morning as my little dog, Chloe, was jumping around. She's an older dog. She's probably about 14 years old. She's had it a little bit rough. Well, she's had it great here, but, you know, she used to like to take off and wander, and she's paid the price for it. She's had injuries to her right front shoulder. Something pierced it, and we took her to the vet. And then she stopped along the way at a house of a pit bull, and she got a bit mauled, and that messed her up for a while, and somehow she got her nose broken one time. We think she was trying to get into somebody's car and they closed the door on her head or nose or whatever. Anyway, so for the last couple of years she's had trouble breathing. You've heard her snore out loud on this video. All of that is to say that she's not the spry young pup she once was. However, she doesn't wait for me to get up off the couch. My mornings are lethargic at best. I need a good couple of bowls of coffee to start feeling awake in the mornings. But she knows after that second cup, it's time to go do something. And she's unusually motivated and looking at me like, come on, let's go. She's not a barker. She's not a noisemaker, but her body language and the way she looks at you, she communicates pretty well. Anyway, this morning she reminded me again. She was in that mode of asking me to go outside. Like, you know, she's got to go potty, right? But she would walk out the door and then look back at me, and then she wouldn't go anywhere. She looked kind of confused, like, come on, what's happening? And then she'd come back in. I'd open the door for her to come back in. And what she was doing was urging me out here to the Kwun, separate from the house. She really likes coming out here to the Kwun for our chanting sessions and my making these videos. And so she's just so at peace and so comfortable out here while I'm doing these videos. And she does not like to miss the opportunity when I leave the house. She's right on my heels. She's like a shadow. Like, let's go, let's go. And if I ask her, you ready to go out to the Kwun? Woo, she's all perked up, ready to go, and a little bit of hopping in her step. It's amazing to watch. And I say all of this because I can't tell you how many times I've come out here in the mornings thinking to myself, oh, I'm having a hard time waking up. I'm tired. You know, I'm not a spry young boy anymore. So, and I have my health issues and so on. So in a way, we're a bit simpatico. And I come out here fully intending to do a calm, kind of even video talking about Buddhism, scholarship, friendly, engaged, but and it seems like it never happens. I can't do it. I'm so excited about Buddhism. And it's, I say that and I laugh because it sounds like a silly thing to say, but I don't need to read very much sutra or gosho or anything in scholarship about Buddhism before I feel like, yeah, I want you to be excited about your practice too. This practice is about living life to its fullest. How can that not be exciting? It's antithetical to, so now we read in Buddhism, Nichiren says that, how is that inspiring? Listen, it's not my motivation to be inspired. I am inspired. Buddhism is freaking exciting. It's amazing. Which is also why sometimes I get so frustrated when the scholarship I'm supposed to be reading from people who purport to be scholars has such glaring errors in it of just the wrong words. So I'm going to follow Nichiren's advice, or Shakyamuni's advice, is not get so hung up about the words. But I have to say things, so I hope you understand when I do get a little animated about incorrect rhetoric. It's very damaging, you know, for those who maybe don't know about this channel or haven't read, or I can't be the only one who sees clearly these errors, right? So wherever, but there's so much out there that does, that actually takes advantage of the errors. That's what gets me upset. And I feel somewhat vindicated because I see Nichiren getting very upset about misleading, misinterpretation, ignorance. We just read about how he's talking about some of these very incorrect misunderstandings being learned from a lineage of masters who continuously promoted that misleading information. And although he's very upset about those sects, those schools, he sees those teachers as, he gives them the grace, I guess you would say, of ignorance. But certainly once the ignorance is pointed out, they need to immediately correct their ways, their understanding, right? The story I use all the time as an analogy is the emperor's new clothes. Once somebody has the chutzpah to say, emperor's naked, nobody in that audience can then continue to pretend they don't know. So, anyway, all of that's to say that please be excited about Buddhism. It's amazing that we can do this. It's amazing that we have a path to a clear mind of deep appreciation and understanding of how life, where all phenomena work. That's amazing. So having said all that, it's interesting. This next part we're going to read of this Gosho on Essay on Gratitude is difficulties encountered by the transmitters of the Dharma. People who want to share, like you and I, want to share the amazing, inspiring aspect of this practice, what it clears up and what it points us to self-awaken. It can be difficult to transmit. How do I, other than just by my presence, because we do influence our environment, I say it all the time, how do I tangibly affect as a proactive bodhisattva. Or if somebody comes and asks me about this, you're always like this, and you're all, and you get through things like, and I admire you, and I could you help me understand? What do you do? What is Buddhism? How do I practice? You'll get those questions. And then our human nervousness sets in, right? Our ego says, can you do this? Do you know how to do this? Are you going to make a mistake? Well, if I was worried about that all the time, I'd probably never have started this channel. So here we go. And again, I'm hearing a lot of earth-moving equipment and so forth from the neighbors, so don't be worried about those sounds. Sounds like electronic dinosaurs. The 24 masters, whoever they are, entrusted with the propagation of the Dharma after the Buddha's death, fall into the four categories of bodhisattvas, whom the people can depend on and who are messengers of the Buddha. Okay, so this would be from the expedient means, how to define the different mental aspects that we all have and how we might influence or, more than influence, assist those who wish to practice Lotus Sutra Buddhism, right? So, Bodhisattva Deva, the 14th of those 24 bodhisattvas, was killed by a Brahmin. Venerable Shima, the 24th bodhisattva, was beheaded by evil-minded King Damira. This is not starting out very positive, is it? Buddhamitra, the 8th transmitter, held up a red flag for 12 years in front of a king with wrong views and persuaded him into Buddhism. Took him a lot of effort, didn't it? Bodhisattva Nagarjuna, we've talked about him quite a lot, who appeared after the Buddha's death, converted a heretic king in South India by holding up a red flag for 7 years. Consistency, right? That's what this means. Bodhisattva Ashvaghosha, the 11th transmitter, offered himself as a $300 million ransom for the sake of Buddhism when his kingdom was attacked by the Kushan emperor. Defeated unreasonably in a polemic debate with a Brahmin, commentator Manoratha died of chagrin. These events occurred during 1,000 years of the age of the true Dharma. And that's it for that brief. So he's just making a point. Standing up for the correct mind, the correct attitude, intent, the correct practice of Lotus Sutra, Myoho Renge Kyo, it's not a breeze. It depends on who and how you enact your practice, right? These examples are what you would call shakubuku. These are, I'm taking on this leader or this important personage, determined to convert them. But telling other people about Buddhism isn't always a confrontation, is it? You've got to feel quite certain and quite confronted, really, to take that confrontation on, if my mouth could work today. But as we know, Nichiren is living the time of samurai. He's living in an age of life and death every day. So for him to use these examples and talk about the difficulty in spreading Lotus Sutra Buddhism in these terms, you could see within the context, yeah, I mean, he's almost been beheaded. He's been exiled a couple of times. His disciples, his followers, have been harassed, had their wealth taken from them, their lands taken from them. We have it so much easier today. At least for now. I'm not sure I say that from the comfort of the middle of the United States. I'm sure there are people in other countries, Sri Lanka, I always forget what the current name of that country is. Is it Burma? Anyway, yeah, there are still some very, well, the whole world is violent today, but I mean, with specificity to Buddhism, yeah? So the next heading here is the spread of the Lotus Sutra by Grandmaster Tendai. So with that brief interjection of, don't worry, just because it's difficult doesn't mean you should feel defeated by it. He now moves into Grandmaster Tendai's method of spreading the Lotus Sutra. So hopefully that will give us a different example of success. Let's see. 1500 years after the Buddha's death, that is 500 years after the beginning of the age of the semblance Dharma, a man of wisdom named Chi Yi appeared in China. He was later called Grandmaster Tendai. He wanted to propagate the teachings of the Lotus Sutra as accurately as possible. It's a steady theme throughout Buddhism, isn't it? Up to that time, classifications of the complete collection of sutras by various scholars numbered as many as 10. 10 different chronologies claiming to be the authoritative bibliography, if you will, of the proper teachings, whether the teachings were actually taught as Shakyamuni, or that they were erroneous teachings from outside sources or writings or commentaries, and whether they should be included in the canon of Buddhist scholarship, their relative merit to one another. This was obviously taught before that kind of thing. A very librarian, academic, scholarly endeavor. Been going on since after Shakyamuni passed away. Everything was transferred verbally, memorized, right? And at some point, there was fear that the teachings would be lost that way. So wealthy people would put to task scribes, people whose whole life and their whole job was, because they had a good mastery of calligraphy and language, to put down on paper these memorized teachings, sermons, yeah? So at that time in China, in Tendai's day, in Chi Yi's day, there were 10 competing, if you will, differing opinions about what the correct order of the teachings and which teaching to include and which were erroneous, that kind of thing. 10 different. Do you imagine if we had, I don't know if you're old enough to remember encyclopedias or dictionaries. I think younger people today, if they even perceive of a book called a dictionary or an encyclopedia, if not online, would think of it as a singular thing. But could you imagine 10 different authorities on the English language with separate dictionaries with disparate information? Some people say that can is a metal container, cylindrical container, while others can is, you get my point. They see it from a totally different perspective, or they don't include it at all, that kind of a thing. It would be in the scope of scholarship of Buddhism, much more than an annoyance it would imply no authority at all. It would be the Wild West, so to speak, teaching wise. Can't have that. So these were classifications by 3 southern and 7 northern masters of Chinese Buddhism. Among them, the classification by Reverend Fa Yun of the Quang Che Tsu Temple, the 3rd master of the 3 southern masters, seemed the best or the most accurate. Priest Fa Yun divided all the sutras of the Buddha into 5 groups. Of these, he selected 3 sutras, the Flower Garland, the Nirvana, and the Lotus Sutra. According to Fa Yun, the Flower Garland was the best and like a king. The Nirvana Sutra was 2nd, like a royal regent. And the Lotus Sutra was 3rd, like a court noble. And all the other sutras were like the general populace. So that was the general order of things, according to this master. Fa Yun was born a man of wisdom. Besides, he studied Buddhism under the guidance of such great sages as Hui Quan, Hui Yan, Seng Zhou, and Hui Tzu. After defeating the doctrines of the northern and southern masters, Fa Yun retreated into the mountain to master the Lotus, Nirvana, and Flower Garland Sutras thoroughly. The 3 sutras he deemed to be the main objective of Shakyamuni's teachings. Emperor Wu of the Liang Dynasty showed his respect by inviting him to head the Quang Che Tsu Temple, which Emperor Wu of the Liang Dynasty had built within the imperial palace. Remember the relationship between the spiritual leader and the power leader, I guess you would say, the political leader, very tight. When this master lectured on the Lotus Sutra, a rain of flowers fell from the heavens just as they did in the Buddha's lifetime. So those must have been very celebrated lectures, in other words. They must have been very enlightening, very well received. Confronted by a great drought in the 5th year of the Tian era in 506, the emperor invited Fa Yun to lecture on the Lotus Sutra. Things are tough. We need an inspiration. Come and lecture on the Lotus Sutra again. Just at the moment when he came to the following phrase in the chapter, The Simile of Herbs, quote, "Now it rained equally all over on the earth," end quote. It began raining as sweetly as nectar. Not that it was a sweet nectar that was raining, but it was that kind of appreciation for the rain. It was a drought, after all. The emperor was so delighted that he granted Fa Yun the title of bishop, whatever that is in Asia. That's my little dog, Asia. And paid homage to him just as various deities waiting on Indra or royal subjects were awe-stricken in front of their king. So the king, politically, you know, he takes some of the credit for getting this great spiritual scholar to come and speak, and the rain comes from the skies, right? That symbiosis, it's always there. Relationships, that's what life is, yeah? In addition, someone dreamed that Fa Yun was the master who had preached the Lotus Sutra ever since the time of the Sun, Moon, Light Buddha. Fa Yun wrote a 4-facile commentary on the Lotus Sutra, in which he declares, quote, "The Lotus Sutra does not reveal the truth." What? "And compared with the Flower Garland Sutra, the Lotus Sutra is an expedient teaching." Boy, he got that backwards, didn't he? So how is it that he didn't see with these amazing events how glorious the Lotus Sutra is? Certainly, it is stated that the Lotus Sutra is a sutra which has not revealed the essential teachings of the Buddha. It may be that because his doctrine met the wishes of the Buddha, flowers and rains fell from the heavens. Such wonderful happenings convinced the people in China that the Lotus Sutra was inferior to the flower garland than the Nirvana Sutra. That seems obviously convoluted, doesn't it? His commentary gained popularity in Sila, Pakche, Koguryo, and Japan, where most people came to believe in the same way. Odd. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Don't understand people. But this is Nichiren telling this story, so let's see what he's getting to. Shortly after priest Fa Yun's death, toward the end of Liang, or in the beginning of the Qin dynasty, a young monk named priest Qi Yi emerged. He was a disciple of Grandmaster Nan Hui, but he had some doubts about his master's doctrine. Having studied all the sutras of Buddhism several times, Qi Yi chose to study the Flower Garland, Nirvana, and Lotus Sutras. Especially, he studied the Flower Garland Sutra and lectured on it as well. Moreover, he composed a liturgy and accumulated the merits of daily practice by following the Flower Garland Sutra. So people thought that Qi Yi, too, considered the Flower Garland Sutra the prime sutra. In fact, however, Fa Yun's, quote, the flower garland first, the nirvana second, and the lotus the third, end quote, doctrine, seemed to him so doubtful that Qi Yi especially studied the Flower Garland Sutra. Having concluded that the lotus was first, the nirvana second, and the flower garland third, he lamented, quote, the great teachings of the Buddha were transmitted to China without apparent benefits for the people in China, who have been led to evil realms. Realms being mental conditions, right? This is due to the errors of the Buddhist masters. So if you think Nichiren is unique in remonstrating against these other schools, Qi Yi was doing exactly the same thing. There's a history of this in Buddhism. Suppose a king began calling the east the west or the sky the earth, and that his subjects all followed him. This is Qi Yi talking now. When a humble man comes along and tries to correct them, the subjects, catering to the whim of the king, would not only reject the humble man, but also abuse and harm him. What can be done about this? Well, now I see the tie. Why he introduced, Nichiren introduced these, the difficulty of transmitting the truth. It would be like in the analogy I use all the time of the emperor's new clothes, when that one kid, bright-eyed kid, says the emperor's naked, that the whole crowd would turn on the kid and tell him to shut up. And I think in some versions of the story, that is in fact what happens. If people had to know the emperor was naked, they could see with their own eyes. But their attachment, their samsaric conditioning of appeasing political pressures, power, fear, permitted these human beings with a mind like yours and mine to utter and support utter nonsense for fear of reprisals, being part of the club, gaining possible benefits by going along. The more we practice Buddhism, the more we see that behavior as so shameful. It's so terrible. Why do you think they call it evil? That's what this translation is trying to capture. In fact, maybe I'll replace the word evil with shameful, because it's really a self-realizing condition, isn't it? We know when we're being shameful, and yet human beings adopt that position so readily just to avoid other things. And all of that is the drama we build around attachment, possession, fear of loss. This is the crux of Buddhism. You want to start feeling like a whole human, confident about your life? Then you need to get rid of that, those delusions. They're not, you don't need to do that. I'm getting excited again. So Nichiren continues, determined that he could not keep silent about this, Chi Yi declared that priest Fa Yun of the Quang Che Shui temple had fallen into hell because of his error of slandering the true Dharma. Yikes. You're going against a lot of history there, Pally. There's going to be reaction, yeah? The northern and southern masters gathered like bees, shouting like crows, and insisted on beheading or exiling priest Chi Yi. There's a familiar story, if you had been under the impression that Nichiren was the only one who... I mean, they did this to Shakyamuni. Nagarjuna, Vasubandhu, on and on and on. The emperor of Qin heard this and ordered some of the northern and southern masters to come together to listen to Chi Yi in the presence of the emperor himself. Let me be the judge. You guys come here and debate, and I'll tell you who's got it right or not. He wanted justification for before he took any action, right? Typical. So, more than 100 disciples of Fa Yun, such as Hui Jun or Yung, Fa Cui, Hui Quang, and Hui Heng, all of whom held the ranks of Shojo, Soju, Sozu, or above, attended the meeting. So all these learned scholars from these different temples and schools, right? They abused Chi Yi with angry faces, knitted brows, and shouted at him with hands clapping. Who are you to... Yeah, right? Priest Chi Yi sat calmly in the lowest seat, without changing his facial expression or raising his voice. Obviously, not me. He took notes on what the masters said and refuted them one by one, courteously and modestly. Honorable so-and-so, you said this, 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 this. However, I read in this sutra, in Shakyamuni's words, this, 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 this. It completely contradicts what you're saying. In the end, he declared, quote, the doctrine of priest Fa Yun stated that the Flower Garland Sutra is best, the Nirvana second, and the Lotus third. Where is the sutra to verify this? Show me solid and clear proof, end quote. Unable to answer this, those masters bowed their heads and turned pale. Chi Yi continued to pursue this, saying, now this is Chi Yi talking, and now you can understand why he studied the flower garland so deeply. Because if he's going to see clearly the Lotus Sutra is first, he needs to be able to prove to all these people who put the Flower Garland Sutra first where it fails to hold that position. So he was smart. He became an expert first. So he wasn't just offering his opinion. Just like Nichiren. Nichiren's constantly saying, it's not me who's saying this. I'm just, look, the emperor's naked. Yeah? All right. Here goes Chi Yi. It is clearly stated in the Sutra of Infinite Meaning which is the ovation to the lotus. Next, the Buddha preached Mahayana teachings expressed in 12 kinds of styles, the Wisdom Sutra and the Flower Garland Sutra. Thus, the Buddha himself declared that the Flower Garland Sutra is inferior to the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. For the former is the sutra which does not yet reveal the truth, whereas it is revealed in the latter. Since the Flower Garland Sutra has been condemned by the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, which is inferior to the Lotus Sutra? How is it possible for you to rank the Flower Garland Sutra on top? If you want to assist your master, show me proof strong enough to refute this sutra. It's clearly written in the Sutra of Infinite Meaning or innumerable. There's different translations of it, and it is the opening ovation to the Lotus Sutra. That's what it's discussing. So it obviously places the Lotus Sutra well ahead of, on top of, in the hierarchy of all the teachings, of all the previous teachings, let alone the one that they're claiming is the primary, which it can't be if it's a lesser teaching than the Lotus. The Flower Garland cannot be the top, the superior, the ultimate teaching, right? In what sutra do you have proof when you say that the Nirvana Sutra is superior to the Lotus? So now he's going to move on to the Nirvana. In the 14th facet of the Nirvana Sutra, the comparative superiority among the Flower Garland Sutra, the Agama Sutras, the Hodo Sutras, Wisdom Sutra, and Nirvana Sutra is explained, but nothing is said of those between the Lotus and the Nirvana Sutras. In the 9th facet of the Nirvana Sutra, the superiority of the Lotus Sutra to the Nirvana is revealed in these words, quote, "In the Lotus Sutra, 8,000 Sravaka are guaranteed to attain Buddhahood in the future." Previously, they were denied the possibility of even attaining Buddhahood. This is like a great harvest in autumn, leaving the Nirvana Sutra for gleaning only after the harvest is done, end quote. This is from the Nirvana Sutra. So it obviously places the Lotus Sutra ahead of itself. According to this statement in the Nirvana Sutra, it is clear that the various sutras are like sowing and growing in spring and summer, while the Nirvana Sutra and the Lotus Sutra are like a harvest in autumn to be stored for the winter. The Lotus Sutra is likened to the great harvest in autumn to be stored for winter, while the Nirvana Sutra is likened to a gleaning in the latter part of autumn or in the beginning of winter. So the Nirvana Sutra itself acknowledges that it is inferior to the Lotus Sutra. Once again, a reordering of those three main sutras is obvious. It is also said, and this is Chi Yi continuing here, in the Lotus Sutra, that among the sutras already preached, being now preached, and to be preached in the future, the Lotus Sutra is most superior. It says it's explicitly in the Lotus. And to be preached in the future. And okay. It has been thus decided by Shakyamuni Buddha, the originator of this practice. You can't question that. The Lord Shakyamuni made such a decision, and nobody should have any doubts about it. However, the Buddha, worried about what would happen after his death, called upon the Buddha of many treasures from the Eastern Treasure Purity World to serve as witness, right? Not an actual person, but a mental clarity to put their stamp of approval on what he had now proclaimed, Shakyamuni. So the Buddha of many treasures emerged from the ground and verified the truth of the Lotus Sutra. Another way of reading that, as I've pointed out many times, when things emerge from the ground, they are future born, future manifested, and so those future Buddhas manifested, those minds manifested in the future, would, on retrospect, read Shakyamuni's or learn Shakyamuni's sermons and attest to their accuracy, which is partly our function, what you and I are doing right now. So the Buddha of many treasures emerged from the ground and verified the truth of the Lotus Sutra. In addition to this, Buddhas in manifestation from all over the worlds of the universe, gathered to attest its truth by extending their long and wide tongues to the great Brahma heaven, as Buddha Shakyamuni did as well. So this is a universal truth. This is an important point to remember. Buddhism is about our earthly experience, our mundane samsaric life, and how to expand our mind's alacrity, clarity, understanding, experience, to view through this lens of earthly life, the truth and the reality of the entire engine of life, the universe itself, taking place right here on this earth, in this local form, in our consciousness, to experience it. That's so immense. How could you not be excited about Buddhism? After that, the Buddha of many treasures returned to the treasure purity world, and the Buddhas in manifestation also went back to their respective homelands, leaving Shakyamuni Buddha alone. If Shakyamuni Buddha had then declared that the Nirvana Sutra was superior to the Lotus Sutra, how could his disciples have believed him? Right? It's just another back and forth. It's been verified, it's validated throughout as a truth that's universally agreed upon. How then could he change his mind or say something, alter that? It's obvious that there's only one truth. So Nichiren goes on, thus Chi Yi contended. The northern and southern masters in China bowed their heads with their eyes closed, just as rays of the sun and moon dazzled the eyes of Asuras when he battled against Indra, or when Emperor Kaozu of the Han Dynasty held his sword over the heads of his retainers, Grandmaster Tindai looked like a lion roaring in front of foxes and rabbits, or like a hawk or eagle having caught pigeons and pheasants. He obviously was a master at that point. He had demonstrated his profound wisdom. Because of this, the superiority of the Lotus Sutra to the Flower Garland Sutra and Nirvana Sutra prevailed not only in China, but also in India. At this point, Chinese Buddhism takes the lead and informs Indian Buddhism. Interesting, yeah? The northern and southern masters praised that even Mahayana and Hinayana doctrines in India could not equal that of the great master Tendai, who was the second appearance of Shakyamuni Buddha, and that it was the second revelation of true Buddhism, the first being Shakyamuni Buddha's preaching of the Lotus Sutra. In other words, Tendai was not a reincarnation of Shakyamuni Buddha. He was an embodiment of the same clarity and wisdom that was the originator, Shakyamuni. Very high praise indeed, yeah? How are we time-wise? Oh, time has flown. Next, we're going to get into, you know, one of Nichiren's, I would say it's one of Nichiren's great tasks in his life. His primary task was to correctly transmit the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, plain and simple. But in doing so, in his time, in the context of his time, it was incumbent upon him to have to rebuff the prevailing forces around him of these other schools that were obviously very, how shall I say it? Well, I guess in the parlance of these letters, poisoned by misleading information. They were not practicing Buddhism correctly, and that's being kind. So he was having to perform the same cleansing. What's the word they always define Nietzsche? Reform, as did his Tendai before him, and Dengyo, and Miaolo. There's this constant purging of misinformation throughout the history of Buddhism. So Nichiren, then this next section is the wrong doctrine of the Hoso school. So he has to take on these different schools that are popular in his day and demonstrate with his faculty of study, his wisdom, and the clarity of the sermons of Shakyamuni to demonstrate their errors. They've gone the wrong way. To bring then people back, well, what is the right way? Well, here it is. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Yeah. So that will be our next video. I thank you. Thank you abundantly for participating. Please don't forget to like the video. It really helps a lot. Please subscribe. If it's helpful, absolutely get, you know, click the notifications. But at least you don't have to do that, but at least subscribe. It makes a huge difference on the algorithms. We're slaves to that now. But, you know, how else can we get the word out? It seems like we don't talk to neighbors anymore, but on the internet, we communicate globally. Well, so be it. That's magnificent. Let's get as many people to start practicing Buddhism correctly so we can start. We are already affecting the world around us. But there's so much to influence away from war and violence and anger. We need to stick together and make it count. Yeah. Keep your practice strong. Be kind to yourself. I'm so proud of you guys. My patrons, we all are thankful for your contributions. If you can contribute on Patreon or at paypal.me/SifuSylvain, any way you can help to keep this engine of this channel and keep the website up and the bookstore going and the mandala store going. These are all the aspects we need, right? To practice correctly, strengthen our own lives and influence those around us. It's a lot of work, but it's so exciting. Yeah. All right. Thank you again. And I will see you in the next one. Bye for now.